You are a mystery to me, a bright and shadow darkened land, diamonds in a cave, a map of desert sand. How does this ever come to be, with one impossible to know? I'll never understand. You dazzle me.
All right. You welcome back, everybody. Me. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. And she was in the PPG Paints Green Room, which is a lovely space up here on the 18th floor. That voice that you just heard is Lisa Zane, who is terrific actress, a singer, a songwriter, producer, and all of that stuff. And she's live in studio. Lisa, how are you?
I'm terrific.
It's great to see you again.
Really good to see you too.
It was so many years that since we saw each other.
I don't even remember what the occasion was, except I was on the radio with you.
You were on the radio with me.
You did a movie review.
Yeah, and you were on the radio with, I think it was me and Roy.
Yes.
Roy Leonard,
yes,
at the time. And then you also, you and Billy, your brother.
Yes.
Your brother, but for people who don't know, your brother's Billy Zane,
yes,
terrific actor who's been in many things, including Titanic.
Yes.
Only the biggest movie ever made. But you guys were in town for the Chicago Film Critic Awards at the Ambassador East, and it was in the Pump Room.
Yes.
And you and I hung out and talked for a couple of, because you were there for a couple of days. That's where we met. Uh-huh. You presented an award,
uh-huh,
and we met and hung out, and it was after Bad Influence,
uh-huh,
and it was right when you booked Freddy's Dead.
Oh.
That's when we first met and hung out, and you were on the show.
And I hadn't done it yet.
You had not done it. You just got cast.
Cool.
And
you had seen all of them up to then.
Of probably. Course I have, yes, of course.
I hadn't, so you
but,
probably
and so it was such a, it was many years, and then, you know, I'm part of the Flashback Weekend Horror Convention every year.
I didn't know. It was a great surprise to see you there.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm a host, and I get to do Q&As and all that stuff, I saw that you were coming, that Mike and Mia booked you, and I was so happy. I was like, wow, it's been such a long time since I saw you. We saw each other and had a great time over the Flashback Weekend. I did your panel, which was fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
And as soon as I found out you're living here in Chicago again,
yeah.
I was like, well, you must come down to the studio.
Yeah, with pleasure.
So you're here. It's great to see you.
Thanks.
So that what we just heard now, that's not your latest.
No.
Tell us what we just heard.
That was from 2012. That's my second CD. I have two.
Okay.
And I'm in the middle of making the third one, which is, I guess we'll talk about later. But yeah, this one I made in 2012. It's pretty much all original stuff except for a couple of foreign covers, one being If You Go Away, Numukita Pa, the famous great torch song, which I do in a sort of flamenco way. Actually.
Yeah.
I just really like that record. It's called Val d'Amour, and it's a real handmade affair. You know, it's good. It's that kind of a style. Actually, it's pretty eclectic, but mm-hmm, it's in that realm of kind of, you know, balladeering.
Right. Kind of like smoky. Like,
yeah, not yeah. Most of it
torch song kind
it's
of.
It's kind of torchy,
yeah,
but it's, I don't know. It's got a variety of stuff, but
yeah,
it's definitely, I've gone a different way lately.
Very cool. Now I understand. Like when you get to Flapunko,
uh-huh,
and I want to talk about where you're going in that direction, because
yeah,
it's rock.
Yeah,
from what I understand.
Totally.
Yeah, and we're going to hear two full songs.
Terrific.
From it, so people get to hear it and all that cool stuff.
Yeah.
And if people go to lisazane.com, they can hear samplings of your music and download it and stuff.
Not Flapunko yet. They can hear all kinds of and see all kinds of archival stuff.
Right.
You know, it's a kind of monolithic sort of
right
website. If you want to catch up with Flapunko, and because as we finish the songs, we just put them up on our, it's a Facebook page. It's just facebook.com/Flapunko, FLAPUNCO.
Got it. Okay.
And so that's where we're just putting them for now. We're hanging them there until we finish it, and then we'll figure something else out to do. But we're on our fourth one now.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And as you said during your panel, when I was interviewing you at Flashback last weekend, I was like, when is it coming out? And you're like, whenever it comes out, because you have the luxury of doing it whenever you want to do it.
It's true. It's the best.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. Well, let's go back for the people, because for the people who weren't at Flashback, we did cover your beginning and all that stuff. And for people who weren't there, I would like my listeners to know more about you, because I think you're great.
Oh, thanks.
So how did you start? I mean, how did you start in acting?
Well, I majored in it in college, and then, you know, and it was in upstate New York, so everybody moved to New York and gave it a shot.
Yeah.
And then everybody moved to Hollywood after that, because we were all young and it seemed like a good time to go to Hollywood.
Yeah.
And that's how it happened.
Well, what was it like in your is Billy your only sibling?
Yes.
Okay, so it's just you and Billy, and you both went into acting.
Yes.
And I know your parents, by the way. They're lovely people. Yeah, they were big fans of Roy, and they were big fans of mine.
Absolutely.
Which is odd.
Well, they're movie buffs, just like you.
Exactly.
They can talk movies.
They used to come to. I used to do these film club things, where I would show a movie and we would all talk about it. It was like a classroom thing.
Yeah,
and they came to that. It was a monthly thing.
That.
They came to that. So
how'd they do?
They did great. They got straight A's, Lisa.
Know.
They got straight A's.
They went on some. I think it was some Roger Ebert kind of film cruise, and they always won, flat out won all the trivia contests, because, you know, they were born ages ago, and they saw everything first run, you know, back to 1937.
They're such great people to talk to, and they obviously are big, huge film fans.
They really are.
And
they took us to movies, you know, three a day sometimes. Insane, I think, so they really inundated us. It's no surprise that we kind of fell into
it. So it's no surprise that you guys both became actors. So, and I asked you this, and I found this kind of fascinating, that even as kids, you and Billy didn't act together.
No.
I just find that so crazy.
Well, where would we have as kids?
I don't know, like around the house. Did you put up plays and stuff around the house and stuff?
Maybe, no, we made a couple of funny little movies, little movies and stuff, but no, I don't know. We were kind of in our own little worlds. I mean, we hung out and had a great time together and stuff, but you know, family vacations had a lot. Billy did funny impressions, things like that.
Right.
And I used to like lip sync in the mirror, and he watched me, lip sync to the singers. The things that kids do, brothers and sisters do. But we never actually did a play together or even a movie together, except this one.
Right.
Or I told you where we're not even in a scene together.
It's a film called Femme Fatale.
Femme Fatale, yeah.
And you're both in it, but you don't have a scene together.
No. We don't. It alternates between me and Colin Firth and him and Colin Firth.
Right.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty. You work with Colin Firth. What was that like?
Yeah, that was pretty. Oh, he's marvelous.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was terrific. Really fun, easygoing.
Yeah. It's funny because, like, he was sort of on the, he was always sort of on the edge.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, suddenly, boom,
his career.
It had to be Darcy, yeah.
Right? Yeah, all of a sudden.
It's got to be. I mean, because he was always great. I don't remember him in a film called Apartment Zero.
Oh, yes. Exactly.
Oh.
That's terrific.
So great. And he's so great in it. And then I've always followed his career. And I loved him in, he was in Valmont, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, he was great in that, too.
I'd like to see that again.
I liked it more than Dangerous Labor.
Did you?
I did. Yeah, I'm in the minority on that. But I did like it more. But so working with him was great.
Yeah, he's funny and mild-mannered and so supportive, of course, as an actor to work with. And we had a lot of laughs.
Yeah. So, and the movie that, when I first met you, the movie that was just fresh from the theaters was Bad Influence.
Bad Influence.
Which is a movie that I absolutely adore.
So you said.
I love that movie so much. You're great in it. And
it's kind of aging well. I mean, in the sense that it's like a period piece, really. It's like a noir period piece of late 80s, early 90s LA, which is cool, because whenever you shoot in nightclubs with, you know, the styles of the day, the cutting edge styles of the day, which they did, I think.
It's always fun to go back and look at it.
It's always fun to go back and look.
No, I really love that movie. And, unfortunately, the director, who I thought was just an enormously talented director, Curtis Hannison, passed away
too soon.
Directed so many great movies. Yeah. I mean, was his last film 8 Mile? Tom, was he make something after 8 Mile?
He must have.
Because you got L.A. Confidential. He directed L.A. Confidential. He directed The Wonder Boys.
Even River Wild was. Directed.
River Wild. I mean, yeah. I mean, I just was a huge Bedroom Window before he did. Bad Influence. I thought he was just fantastic, and I think Bad Influence is one of his best movies. Tom, did you?
Yeah, his final film was a film called Chasing Mavericks in 2012.
Ooh. Okay.
That's his last credited.
I do not remember.
Yeah, it's a documentary.
Oh, a documentary. Oh, is it about filmmakers?
Filmmakers, right.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
You know, knowing the, you know,
exactly.
His knowledge.
Pardon
yeah.
me, it's a biography.
Oh, biography.
Biography. It appears to be about surfers.
Okay.
About what?
Surfers.
Oh.
Starring Gerard Butler.
Gerard Butler.
Oh,
I know that. I know the film.
Yeah.
I know it. Okay.
Oh, right. I know it too.
Yeah,
now that you
I know it too. Now
Gerard
that I
Butler.
Mentioned it. Yeah. So.
I used to run into him at UCLA when they'd screen old movies and stuff, and he was so often there, you know, introducing them and whatnot.
Yeah.
And it was yeah.
He was a great director and a bad influence. I want to talk just a little bit more about
yeah,
it.
Sure.
But we got a break. Okay?
Okay.
We have to do the news. Lisa Zane is with us and her band. Flapunko is playing at Yippie Fest. That makes sense because it's the anniversary of Woodstock this weekend. It's the
Perfection.
50th anniversary of Woodstock.
And you pronounce it correctly, too, Flapunko.
Flapunko. and it's 11 o'clock. You guys are playing. It's at the Prop Theater, 3502. You think I'd know the address. I only directed 500 shows in that space. 3502 North Elston. It's $15 for one day, $20 for the weekend pass. A whole bunch of stuff happening at Yippie Fest. But Flapunko plays on Saturday night. And we'll talk more with Lisa and hear full songs from her new band right after we take a break here for the news on WGN.
And lazy grotto, concurrently chic and bobo, where they live by the beauty motto. Deep in the velvet couches, in between several teenage crushes, and one or two famous lushes, some directors have their lunches.
Welcome back, everybody. And good morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Friday morning. All the regular Friday features will be coming up straight out of context. Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, Fly Jams Friday, all coming up right here. But that right there was Lisa Zane, who is live in studio with me. Welcome back, Lisa.
Thanks.
And she is an actress and a singer and a producer and a songwriter and all that cool stuff. And your band, your new band, Flapunko is playing at Yippie Fest, which is a celebration that it's clearly celebrating the world of yippies here on the anniversary, 50th anniversary, if you can believe that, of Woodstock. And there's all kinds of performances, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a variety kind of thing, correct?
Yeah, happy chaos, you know, theater, even short films, apparently, music, plays, you know, just a whole weekend of chock-a-block.
And then, of course, you guys are playing. And you'll be playing on tomorrow night, Saturday, at 11 p.m. at the Prop Theater, 3502 North Elston. It's $15 for a day, $20 for a weekend pass. And we're going to get to your band and all that cool stuff. I just want to go back to some of the stuff that you did as an actress.
Sure.
And are you going to continue to act, or is that something that you're...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You never quit.
Okay, okay.
You go on and on.
So, back to Bad Influence. I love that movie so much, and I was telling you before that I really love the sort of reverse casting.
Oh, yeah.
That was done because, you know, like Rob Lowe plays the bad guy and James Spader plays the sort of the innocent good guy. And at that point in the 80s, you know, Spader made a career out of playing, you know, mm-hmm. jerks and villains, mm-hmm. you know, whether it be in Pretty in Pink or Less Than Zero or anything.
And then picked up again after
and then, yeah, exactly. But he was so good in that. And I thought Rob Lowe was terrific. And it was kind of a performance at that point in Rob Lowe's career that I thought came out of nowhere. Like, I would never have expected that kind of, like,
it's
performance
true.
From him. What was it like to work with those guys?
Oh, we were just young and having a blast. You know, we were all in our 20s and just, you know, cracking up about every little thing. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we really enjoyed it.
When you were making the movie, did you know it was going to be good? Was it one of those things where it was like, I know you guys were having fun, but did you feel positive about it while you were making it?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't think in those terms. I was very in the moment when I was young. I didn't anticipate, you know, career choices and future, you know, whatever chess moves and stuff. But it felt like it looked good, mm-hmm. you know. It felt like it looked good. We, you know, I like the costumes and I like the music and I like the and Curtis really you know, set a moody table, yeah. as it were, you know. Yeah. And so yeah, we did. Yeah, James said he thought it was going to be good. He said, you know, I think this is going to do well, and I think you'll do well in it. And
yeah.
It was like he was speaking as the sage of all of us, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, yeah, great.
Yeah. Okay, it's a film, I have to tell you, I mean, it's as you can tell, I have a great admiration for it, and I watch it pretty regularly, and it holds up. It's still really, yeah. really, really good, and you're terrific in it, right. Like really, really good in it. I love the film. The reason, one of the reasons why you were at Flashback, and now you're doing some of these conventions.
Yeah, about a year ago I started. I mean, I actually did one years and years ago, and I didn't care for it mm-hmm. much. I mean, it was just disorienting. But then, I don't know, it seems like everybody's doing them. And
yeah.
They've gotten ironed out a little more logistically, and it's just a smoother experience. And I just run into all these old friends, and
yeah.
It's a blast, and meeting the fans is really fun.
And you know, I might be biased here, but I've been to a lot of cons, and I happen to think that Mike and Mia run the best. They do the best job.
Yeah,
it's really smooth and great, and they do it. They're really nice, and they're considerate to everybody, the guests, and everything. But you were there as part of a big sort of the ladies of Freddy.
Of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, and lots of the ladies from Nightmare on Elm Street of
Six
the films.
Of us.
Yeah, showed up and it was fun. It was fun to see all you guys.
Yeah.
Fun to see everybody?
Oh my, yeah, when Robert shows up to these things, you know, that it's always a blast because also like there's a lot of people that show up because they want to meet him and then they want to meet us and then so there's a, you know, we feel like we're just owning the whole convention.
Yeah, no, you did. You did, and it was balancing between owning the convention between you guys mm-hmm. from the Nightmare crowd and Bruce and Sam on that.
They had their own wing.
Yeah,
the place. They weren't even in our.
But we're talking Bruce area. Campbell and Sam Raimi, and of course the lovely Ted Raimi, who is just a riot.
He's a total riot.
But yeah, no, it was a fun weekend, and we got to see each other and hang out. And so Freddy's dead. Nightmare, final nightmare. How'd that come to you?
They just after Bad Influence, they just thought that I should be the one to kill Freddy for whatever reason.
That's awesome.
I just, you know, swanned around in evening gowns in Bad Influence, and somehow they thought, no, she should be the one.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, deeply flattered and accepted. And
was it fun to make that one?
It was hard work, I have to say.
Yeah, because you're in every scene.
I was in it every day anyway.
Every day, yeah.
Straight, so not every scene, but the kids were great, and you know, Roseanne was in it, and Tom Arnold, and Alice Cooper, and so it was a fun, you know, cast.
Yeah.
You know, walking through, I thought. It was that's another one. I had no idea what it was going to look like because I hadn't been watching all of them. I think I saw the first one like everybody, and then I kind of drifted off the series. So I really couldn't anticipate what it was actually going to look like put together, or what it was supposed to feel like,
right.
You know, to an audience.
And especially since the last 10 minutes was in 3D. Which
yeah.
was kind of an odd choice.
Yeah, that was very cute. Very low tech by today's standards.
Sure.
The 50s style.
Yeah. And it was like when you, what was your character's name, Maggie?
When Maggie puts on her 3D glasses, yeah. You put them on too. Or something like
that. That was the direction to the audience.
By 1956 or something.
Well, it turned out to be a fun movie, and you got to kill Freddy, which
the
is
fact that people still like it.
Okay.
Was I falling off the map? No, the fact that people, I mean, that's what's so fun about these conventions. Like, I just would have had no idea how many people, how it means so much to people.
It does.
Some people.
Yeah, it does.
And, you know, who'd have thought?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I'm delighted about that. I'm really happy about
that. And it's also and I'm sure that this is pretty cool for you. It's the only one in the series directed by a woman. Which I think is pretty awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And she wanted to do Tank Girl.
She did, which I love. And I
she was reading the magazine, the comic book on the set, and she's like, I like this one. This is
And I adore Lori Petty. Oh my God, I love her. I just it was a point from Point Break. I was like on the deep end with
her.
Exactly, and I just think she's great. Well, all right, listen, let's hear a song. Let's hear a whole song.
Okay.
Do we know the song that we're going to hear?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so tell us about it, and then after we play the song, we'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk all about the band.
Okay?
All right. Lisa Zane, tell us about this. This is from the band Flapunko, who you can see live tomorrow night, Saturday, at 11 p.m.
A rock song called Rain.
It's a rock song called Rain. Okay, this is Lisa Zane and Flapunko. Here we go.
Wearing your black fedora, I didn't move it. Neither you said love on the curb. The curb. You grabbed my shoulders and you swear, and I told you to me. You smiled, that rain inside it. I've got my back on the wall. If I was riding me, that's all I love on me. My dear, kiss is temporary, and my back into your love. Stars intruded on me, thoughts that nearly died. But then a lightning crack has got you back into my beloved.
That's a rock song.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thanks.
That's really great. Flapunko.
So fun.
Lisa Zane. Now, you write all the songs.
Yeah.
And you produce the record.
Yeah. Well, I'm writing them with my guitar player. But, I mean, I do the lyrics and we, yeah, we kind of collaborate. On
right.
It, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just want to let everybody know that there are two spaces of nonstop entertainment that's going to be going on at Yippie Fest, and you are going to be in the back space. So
okay.
When you walk into the entrance of the prop theater, just go straight down the hallway to the back as opposed to turning right, because the right is the front space.
Okay, good to know.
So you're in the back. Okay. It's a fun space. It really is. It's a very cool place. So that, and you start at 11 p.m. So cool. So there's four people in the band, including you.
Yeah, guitar, bass, drums, vocal.
And who's the guitarist that you work with?
His name is Pucho. He's from Peru.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a classically trained guitar player. And then I met him on a gig that was more of a formal gig. And then I pitched him this idea that I've had for ages, you know, to do a rock band called Flabunco. I just made up this word, and I just
thought a made up word.
Totally, and it had. I just had the spirit of like a Latin based rock band. I wanted to do a Latin based rock band.
Right.
At the time, I was, you know, doing more like chanteuse kind of stuff and singing Spanish ballads and French chansons.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah. And I had this like ensemble, kind of world music ensemble. And but my guitar player was always like a flamenco guitar player because it just gave it a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
And then I just wrote this song that was like a rock song, and I gave it to them, and then they loved playing it. And then the audiences really loved it at the end of our, you know, more sophisticated set. And I thought, I want to do that. I want to do only this.
Only that.
I mean, at least I want to like pursue it to the end and see what happens. And so it just took a long time to find the right guitar player. And he just jumped on and said, I love it. I'm going to buy an electric guitar tomorrow. Let's just do this.
There we go.
And so we've been doing it for I guess, wow. That was about a year ago. So
about a year. All right. Well, the gig is tomorrow night at as part of Yippie Fest. It's 11 p.m. tomorrow night, Saturday the 17th at the Prop Theater, 3502 North Elston. We're going to come back, take a break here.
Okay.
And Lisa Zane is with us. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more. We'll hear another song from Flapunko. And you can go to lisazane.com for more information. Okay. More after this on WGN.
Tanto le batterie durano fino a dopo domani. Dai.
Car le diable fait la cuisine, le bon Dieu se met à table. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 o'clock. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's Lisa Zane. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
It's so great to have you here.
So great to be here.
So excited. We were just talking off the air because, like, these songs by Flapunko. They're rock songs that are nice and fast and short.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned the Ramones.
Mm-hmm.
And you just mentioned to me off the air that you sang backup with the Ramones?
Yes, for one gig. It was called Circus of the Perverse. It was in the mid-late 80s. I can't remember what year. In New York City. And how I found myself there, I think it was through a band called the White Trash Debutantes.
White Trash Debutantes, okay.
Ginger Coyote, she runs a great rag called the Punk Globe.
Okay.
Still does after 42 years or something. But anyway, yeah. So she said, hey, do you want to sing back up? And I was like, yes, I do. So it was a fun night.
That's just amazing.
Showed up, yeah. My hair was like really sort of silky and long, and I thought, that won't do. I don't really look the part. So I remember in my hotel room, I found this big orange towel, and I just wrapped a la B-52s. I kind of wrapped my head up in this big orange towel. So then I was, oh, you were the girl with the big orange towel on your head. Because I just couldn't go on with my like Catholic schoolgirl shiny hair. It just wasn't going to work.
That's great. Your music background, I mean, how far does it go back? Did you start singing at a very young age?
Yeah, three. Yeah. You know, sing along with the Beatles, whatever. Yeah, I always sang. I always sang just for myself. Or I sang in, you know, school musicals and stuff too and whatnot. But I always sang in my life just because. And then about 1998 is when I was invited for the first time to sort of, you know, do a club gig. And it was in L.A. and it ended up being a weekly thing. And that's when I grew my repertoire and then got really bit by the bug and moved to New York and did it and blah, blah.
Yeah.
I started to write songs after that.
Right. And I bet doing that kind of stuff in New York must have been a blast.
Marvelous.
Yeah.
I was there like 98, 99, 2000, 2001, right before 9/11, actually.
Yeah.
That great period in Manhattan. The song you played right before this one, the second song, was all about the Mercer lobby, the Mercer Hotel.
Oh, yeah. Because
I wrote all those songs in Manhattan, basically, I think, pretty much. So I sang at Joe's Pub in the Cutting Room, and everything was wide open and easygoing, and I had amazing audiences because it was, you know, Manhattan, and people show up. You can't imagine who shows up to these things.
I've been to New York many times. I've never lived there, but I spent a significant amount of time there in 1999. A play that I co-wrote and directed. We did the Fringe Fest, and it was I did an adaptation of High Fidelity before Cusack did.
That.
Yeah, and it was called The Vinyl Shop. So we brought it out there, and I spent 3 weeks. staying right around the corner from CBGB's, where CBGB's used to be,
terrific.
Obviously. And I spent a significant amount of time in that area, and it never got past Midtown. And I loved it, just being there. But it's a very intense place.
Yes.
I mean, you know, sure. I was there for 3 weeks. I was sober for 2 days.
You almost right away flip your schedule midnight to 6 a.m. and then you sleep. It's like Manhattan babies don't sleep tight.
Exactly.
It's so true. It happens within 2 days.
It does.
Whoa,
yeah.
I'm different.
So now, you know, you've spent a significant amount of time there, some years, right?
Yeah, it was like I had a place on Waverly Place near Washington Square. Then I had a place right at Prince and Mercer. It was like really thick.
Very cool.
It was fun.
That must have been a blast. So
for like, yeah, 3.5 years. It was so good.
So you're recording with the band and, mm-hmm. and working on it right now, and you got your gig on Saturday, tomorrow night, mm-hmm. and it's at Yippie Fest. Everybody should go. Check out YippieFest.com, and also we have a link on our Facebook page if you want to check it out. It's Facebook.com/NickDShow. You should all go and see Lisa and her band Flapunko. We got time for one more song.
Awesome.
So what are we going to hear?
In Spanish.
Oh, okay.
Called Serpiente Dorada, the golden snake. Very yippie in spirit.
Okay. All right. And you'll hear that on Saturday. Okay. This is Lisa Zane and Flapunko. Here we go.
Serpiente dorada, mira el hongo, sus ojos de plata los dicen mirando.
Yeah. Wow. That's fantastic.
Thanks.
That's a jam.
That's a fun one. I like
that. That's great. And I asked you off the air before we go, I asked you if you like to sing in other languages.
My favorite's my shtick.
Yeah.
For years, that's what I've been doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Well,
yeah.
You have a fantastic voice, Lisa.
Thank you.
You're so talented. I just think you're great. I'm so glad that we got to catch up with each other. I want you to
me
come
too.
Back as soon as possible.
Anytime.
Okay.
I'll bring the rest of the band.
Yeah, please do. We would love to have that. That would be fantastic. Lisa Zane is a actress, a singer, and she's in the group Flapunko, which you can hear live at Yippie Fest Prop Theater, 3502 North Elston. You guys are playing Saturday night at 11 o'clock in the Backspace. There you go. Lisa, it's so great to see you. And again, I want to mention really quickly before you get out of here. I love the show Profit.
Thank you.
And I am so mad at the way Fox handled it.
I know.
And Tom, have you ever seen Profit?
Disappointed.
Okay. Tom's seen Profit, and I'm very happy
Maybe
about it.
Maybe it'll have another life.
It should. It was way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Way ahead of its time. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that before you get out of here. Maybe people could catch it. So, Lisa, it was great, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
That's Lisa Zane. Check out Flapunko at Yippie Fest at Prop Theater Saturday night at 11 o'clock. The news is coming up right after this.